You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here, along with our MLB.com Phillies reporter, Todd Zalecki. And Todd, the Phillies they played well at times early this season, but they ran into Noah Syndergaard on Monday night, which is, it's been bad news for anybody this season. But what has been so good about him, and how did the Phillies fail to attack him properly, I guess?
Well, it was fun watching him pitch last night. 100 miles an hour, 101 mile an hour, and then he'd like come back at you with like a 94 mile an hour slider. And nobody really has a chance against this guy right now. It seems like every scout right now is going, he's my NL Cy Young pick. He's my favorite. Quite frankly, I think any team is going to have trouble with him, obviously, but I think especially a team like the Phillies, they're just outgunned right now against a guy like Syndergaard. And really, if you look at their numbers, they've been kind of outgunned by pretty much everybody they faced this season. They're just not a team that is going to score a lot of runs. In fact, I think through 14 games, the Phillies have failed to pick up 10 hits in a single game, which is a franchise record. And I think it's also the longest drought to start a season since the Astros in 2014. So, Syndergaard is a really, really tough task against this group.
You mentioned the struggles offensively, and the one position that really kind of stands out is left field, which has been a bit of a black hole for this team. 248 combined OPS heading into the game on Monday. So they option Cedric Hunter to AAA. They bring up David Lowe. He's a guy that obviously has some major league experience. They just looking for a spark at this point?
Yeah, I think, honestly, I don't think they're looking at David Lowe as a savior by any means. I think they're just looking for somebody that can get a hit every once in a while. They just were not getting a hit every once in a while with Cedric Hunter and Tyler Goodell. Darren Ruff has played a little bit of left field over the past few days, but they just weren't getting anything. And like you mentioned, 248 OPS. That's not on-base percentage. That's OPS, which is really, really, really bad. And they just need to get something going. That left field spot has been a problem. Right field, Peter Borges has been struggling quite a bit. In fact, I think their OPS amongst Phillies right fielders also ranked last in baseball. So those corner outfield spots have been a big problem for them.
And then the other issue is leadoff, right? I mean, not just those positions, but then just somebody to kind of fill that role at the top of the order.
Yeah, Pete McCannon has been trying different people. But basically, he's been going with either Freddy Galvis or Cesar Hernandez. Hernandez makes a lot of sense because he gets on base a lot. He's got some speed, but he, for whatever reason, he's not comfortable hitting leadoff. You look at his career splits, hitting first and hitting second, it's night and day. He's a very, very good number two hitter, not a very good number one hitter. And so Pete has gone with Freddy Galvis. Now, you look at Freddy Galvis's career numbers, just not a very good on-base guy. Career on-base percentage, I believe, under 300. He just has not shown that knack of getting on base consistently throughout his career. Personally, if I were Pete, and I've asked him about this, he's probably sick of me asking him about it. I've been asking him a lot the last several days about Odubel Herrera leading off. Odubel Herrera right now leads Major League Baseball in pitches per plate appearance. I think the number is like 5.18, and he's second in Major League Baseball with 13 walks. So he's getting on base a lot, and he seems to really enjoy working a pitcher and working that walk. And Pete's argument is, he is one of my best pure hitters. I don't want him to hit first. My argument would be, you'd much rather have Odubel Herrera getting more at-bats throughout the course of the game than Freddy Galvis. And this is a team who, in years past, one of their better hitters was Junior Rollins, and he hit first with great success and really got that offense going. And I really think Herrera could do the same. But Pete obviously disagrees with me.
Galvis, you mentioned, not a perfect fit as far as leadoff, but he was the perfect fit in extra innings on Sunday and a huge win for the Phillies against the Nationals after it looked like they had let it go with Bryce Harper homering in the top of the 10th. They rally back, and they do it against Jonathan Papelbon in Philadelphia. Did that make it – I know it doesn't matter to the players, but as far as the atmosphere and the fans at that game – did they kind of take a little extra pleasure in that game, having beaten Papelbon in the 10th?
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt that Papelbon was not one of the most well-liked, well-received players in Philly's history, certainly not in the last 10 years. In fact, I joked about it with Papelbon last year when he returned for the first time against the Nationals. I said, you're probably not going to be invited to any alumni days or be erected on the under the Wall of Fame. And he didn't disagree with me. So certainly fans enjoy beating him. And, you know, it's fun having, like, the good guy versus the bad guy. And in this case, of course, the Phillies fans think the Phillies are the good guys and Papelbon is the bad guy. And Papelbon relishes that role. In fact, after the game, he said, you know what, hey, I'm upset that I blew the save, but guess what? We're walking out of here. We won 2 out of 3, and we're still in first place. In other words, I'm probably going to be in the postseason this year, and the Phillies are going to be rebuilding. So Papelbon kind of knows what to say to kind of increase that role of that villain role. And for that reason, I think when the Phillies do get to Papelbon, and they have gotten to Papelbon ever since the trade to D.C., they've really, really enjoyed it.
I think the irony is that he's not really loved in D.C. as far as the fans go either, which is his his current team. I do think that Boston still likes him because he obviously closed out a World Series there. But so at least there is a fan base somewhere that maybe still likes Jonathan Papelbon. But he is certainly a polarizing figure late in his career. I feel like maybe we've waited too long to get to a discussion about Vince Velasquez, because how good has this guy been? Really historically good. The 7th 9-inning game in history in which a player has 16 strikeouts with no walks and no runs. I mean, that's kind of an amazing number. He was great last time he faced the Mets, but then he was even better last time out. What did you see from him in that game? Can he be this good consistently?
Well, I think what we've seen from Velasquez in his first two starts is what he could be or what he can be. Now, the trick for him is, and the challenge is going to be, can he actually be that guy? Can he be consistently dominant? Can he become what Syndergaard has become for the Mets, which is a guy you go out every night, every 5 days, and you say, this guy might pitch a shutout tonight. This guy could potentially throw a no-hitter. I mean, that's the type of stuff Syndergaard has. Velasquez certainly had that stuff last week against the Padres. Now, I think Tuesday night start against the Mets is going to be very interesting because it's going to be a second time facing them in less than 2 weeks. So the Mets are going to—they know him this time. They know what he throws. They're not. I'm not going to say they're more comfortable with him, but they certainly are aware of him and what he brings to the mound. And is Velasquez going to be able to kind of counterpunch those adjustments that the Mets hitters make? But certainly, I think Phillies fans are ecstatic with what they have seen from Velasquez so far. They hope that this is just the beginning of something, but very small sample size. But if he can even be close to what he has been in these first two starts, the Phillies are going to be absolutely thrilled with this trade that they got him in December as part of the Ken Giles deal.
Absolutely. Todd, let's look at the week ahead real quickly. They finish up this 3-game series with the Mets, and then it's 3 games with the Brewers. Is it fair to make the argument that the success of this Phillies team and how successful maybe they can be this season depends more on how they do against the other National League teams that are expected to struggle? You know what I mean? They're only going to win so many games against the contenders, but there's a lot of teams in the National League that are going to kind of struggle throughout the season. When you talk about the Braves, the Reds, the Brewers, are those maybe the more important games for this Phillies team?
Yeah, I think it's a good measuring stick for him, no doubt about it. Going into the season, I think you're right. A lot of people looked at those four teams that you mentioned, the Reds, Brewers, Braves, Phillies, and said, okay, who's the furthest away from contending? Who's the closest to contending? You know, and then, of course, you look towards next season and the number one draft pick and all of that. But I think the Phillies, with the way their starting pitching is set up, puts them in a pretty good spot against those teams. Now, I say that, and they got swept the first 3 games of the season in Cincinnati, so crazy things can happen. But I think when you look at the Phillies compared to some of those other teams, they seem to be set up pretty nicely in terms of starting pitching, in terms of them being in most games every night. Now, going back to kind of what we started talking about, I think the big issue is when are these guys going to be able to put some runs together and put some offense together on a consistent basis?
Yeah, it's amazing what a couple of big trades have done to kind of fast forward this rebuild for the Phillies. Great stuff, Todd. As always, this has been MLB.com Extras Phillies Edition. Tune in again next week.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.